of friendship, you know, that you could find is embodied in this man. He's a real friend, a beloved servant of God, a man who has stepped out in faith to touch the nations of the world. He's been to almost 40 nations preaching the gospel, starting works in India. There's a work that's going on to reach women and children in Guatemala and other places in Peru. There's a work in the process of being started. You'll hear all about his wonderful ministry. But I have to say again, he is a friend of this church, and he is a friend of many of the leaders in this Orlando area. So it's nice to have him back here in Orlando. Would you please welcome Reverend Lee Grady?
Good morning, Catalyst. Good morning. I hope y'all are as happy to be here as I am. I'm happy to be here partly because my friends David and Angela, we go way, way back. I think we realized that we met each other in 1995, I think, before some of you were born. And then I have my friends Myra and Barry, who were already introduced, and then I have my friends Jimmy and Debbie, who I have known since 1979. I've known Jimmy, one of my dearest friends who lives here in Orlando. And then I have, like, my dear son in the Lord, Philippe Amarim, and his wife, Marina, are here. Y'all stand up. I want you guys to... So my heart is full because I've got, like, really close friends in the room this morning. But also, Catalyst Church, you guys are really special to me because... As I've been talking to David and Angela about you, I really don't like plain vanilla Christianity. And so I love to be in a worship environment where it's all mixed up. Y'all like to be mixed up? And the Lord's doing a wonderful thing here by bringing people from so many different nations and so many islands. And you guys must have the best church dinners. Some jerk chicken and, yeah, I can sort of already smell it. And we're not even having a, oh yeah, and Lori, was it 95 was when you came? Okay, so Lori came to work for me at Charisma Magazine in 1998, so that was 20 years ago. Wow. So... We go way back, y'all. So Orlando has been was home for my wife and I for 22 years. We raised our children here, but 2.5 years ago we moved back to my home state of Georgia, where we are now based. But this is like a second home, and I'm happy to be back here in this church, and I feel very, very welcomed and very much at home. Thank you. So I want you to turn to someone this morning and look them in the eye and say, get out of your box. So I just want to warn you that I'm going to get kind of personal with you this morning. And if you're just a glutton for more, you can come back tonight. If we have any spiritual pigs in the room and you want a double portion, because I believe we're in a season where we need more. We need more of the Holy Spirit's power. And if you're at a place in your life where you know that you need to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, you need a word from Him, you need more power, you need to get plugged in to the Holy Spirit's power, tonight is your night. Okay, so just come back at 7 and we're going to just... We're not going to be as worried about, you know, time and everybody's looking at their watch and ready to go to the buffet. We're not going to do that tonight. We're just going to linger and let God move. Amen? So this word that I have for you this morning, I believe it is a prophetic word for Catalyst Church. You guys are in a box. And I've been talking to David this morning about the condition of this building and how we have some pans up in the ceiling to catch water. And, you know, it's kind of like this building has been a blessing from God. But how many of you know that it's not going to be too long before it's going to get bulldozed? And there's going to be a new wineskin. Are y'all ready for change? Are you guys ready to go on a journey of change? Because some people just like things to stay the way they are. And I have learned that in the kingdom of God, you can't just be in maintenance mode. Amen. So if you put that next picture up, you know, back in the Old Testament, you'll see a slide. Go to that next slide. In the Old Testament, we know that God told Moses to build a mobile church. It was called the Tabernacle. And in that building, it was like a tent, and there was a courtyard in the front of it, and then there was a sanctuary, and then behind a curtain, there was an altar area up here. Now, if we were all worshiping God back in those days, if we came to worship Jesus at that tabernacle, I hate to tell you all, but none of you, except Barry Goldfarb, maybe, none of you would actually be able to be admitted. We would have been worshiping God in the parking lot, and then you would bring your offering to the entrance of the gate, and the priests would take that offering, and they would bring it into the sanctuary, and the priests were actually allowed to worship, and they had their music and their worship, and then when you got to the curtain, nobody was allowed behind the curtain. Except one guy, the priest, one time a year, he could go back there. And the only thing that was back behind that curtain was this box. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. And that was where the presence of God was contained. Because in the Old Testament, God chose to limit himself. God said, okay, I'm preparing something here. But in the Old Covenant, it was limited, and worship was actually limited only to the Jewish people. And if you were going to be a priest and a minister of God, you had to not only be a Jew, but you had to be a certain age, and you had to be male, and you had to be a son of Levi. Pretty limited. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you are thankful that you live in the new covenant? Because this morning we didn't have to worship in the parking lot. We came in here and we worshiped together. And because in the new covenant, the Bible says you have all been made priests. Now there was a miracle that happened to bring us to that point. After Jesus Christ died on the cross, in fact, the day that he died on that cross, the Bible says that in that temple, the veil, which was very thick, was torn from top to bottom. It was like God just ripped it open from the top and he said, I'm coming out. It required the blood of Jesus for the box to be broken. But when Jesus did that, and then the Bible says that he was buried, he was raised from the dead, and then after he spent some time with his disciples in his resurrected body, the Bible says he ascended into heaven. And before he ascended to heaven, he told his disciples, I want you to wait in Jerusalem for a surprise. They didn't know what was going to happen. He said, I want you to wait until you have been clothed with power. But they really didn't know what that was going to look like. And if you'll go to that next picture, you'll see one representation of what that looked like on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit on his people. And you'll notice in that picture, there's a lot of different nations represented. But on that particular day, on that first day of Pentecost, everybody in that room was Jewish. So those people received the fire, and they received that gift of speaking in tongues, and they were filled, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were empowered to preach the gospel. Now, the really interesting thing is that after that experience, and the box had been broken open, the Bible says that Peter went down to a place called Joppa, and he was hanging out down there, and there was a knock on the door, and these people, they came to talk to Peter. Now, right before they showed up, the Bible says Peter had a vision, and he saw this sheet coming down from heaven. And in that sheet, there were all these animals that Jews did not eat. It was like a feast in Kingston, Jamaica. It was like, I mean, there was pork, and there were probably octopus and shrimp and lobster and squid and every kind of food that Gentiles ate but Jews did not eat. Okay? And when Peter saw that vision, he heard the voice of the Lord and said, "Peter, rise up, kill, and eat." Now, you got to understand that this was a stretch for Peter, because he was not only a Jewish guy, but he was also a Jewish guy who was raised by a kosher Jewish mother. And she told him his whole life what he was not supposed to eat and where he was not supposed to go. And yet here he is, and he sees this vision. He sees all these, it's like a Cajun feast in front of him. And the Holy Spirit says, "Guess what? The box is open. Kill and eat." And then the knock on the door, and these guys came, and they said, "We need you to come to the city of Caesarea, because there's a guy named Cornelius, and he needs to hear from you. You have a message for him." And so Peter went to that place. And by the way, I think I have one more picture. If you'd show that. Anybody know what that is? That is an Italian feast. Now, I'm not trying to make y'all hungry. I know what time it is. Olive Garden will be open in a little while if you want to go there. I just imagine, what did Peter smell when he walked into the house of Cornelius? Because Jews did not go to Italian houses. This has never been done in history, and yet the Holy Spirit is directing this. And when he walked into that house, I am sure it was full of the smell of garlic. And there might have been calamari and pork roast and lobsters and all kinds of this food that Jews didn't eat. But what did Peter do? The Bible says that he knew the Holy Spirit was directing him. He met Cornelius. The house was full of all of Cornelius's Italian relatives. And they were sitting there, and they listened to Peter preach. And the Bible says that after he preached the gospel to them, the Holy Spirit fell on them as well. And it was just like a repeat of the day of Pentecost. And all of a sudden, those Italians started speaking in tongues, and they were full of the Holy Spirit. And then this is what the Bible says to us in Acts 10:44. We have this verse for you on the screen if you would go there. It says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." The box was broken. God never intended to keep it all in a box. He limited himself in the Old Testament. But when Jesus died on the cross and he poured his Holy Spirit out, he says, "I'm coming out and I'm going to do something new." And it required the people to stretch. It required them to change their mentality. Because when the Holy Spirit wants to move, he is going to require you to shift your thinking. Because he's always moving forward and doing new things. Amen? I had the amazing opportunity last November. You can go to this next picture. I actually got to go to the place where this happened. This is Caesarea on the Mediterranean coast of Israel. And I got to go to this city. It was truly, I have to tell you, it was my favorite place to go in all the Holy Land, because this is where the Gentile church was born. This is where that happened with Cornelius' house. And then the next picture, you can see me. I'm pretty excited in the Mediterranean. Got to swim in the Mediterranean. And just imagine what it would have been like to be in that house of Cornelius. And the reason why it's so special to me is because I believe we're living in a season right now in the church when God is requiring us to break out of our boxes and to stretch and to allow the Holy Spirit to change our thinking, because He wants to do something new in this hour. He is serious about reaching everybody. Are y'all willing to go with the Holy Spirit? Are y'all willing to go places where maybe you wouldn't have gone in the past? Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to stretch your thinking in this moment? Are you willing? So I'm going to just, if you're taking notes this morning, I'm going to give you just three simple steps that I have learned myself as I've asked the Holy Spirit to help me stretch and to help me break out of my box. And I'm still breaking out of boxes now. And I've learned that you can break out of a box and then you can be sort of free for 3 or 4 years. And then you find out that you're back in some other box. Because the Lord wants us to be a free people. So, number one is that you must not limit. Don't limit your potential. Would you just turn to somebody, boldly tell them, don't limit your potential. I'm going to share just a personal testimony with you about my own journey in this area. As I have said, and David has said, I've known David and Angela for many years. When I met them, I had just started a job here in Orlando at Charisma Magazine. I was the editor of a Christian magazine. I was a journalist. I was very happy to be a journalist. I was very happy to stay behind a desk and write. And I pretty much had told God, this is what I do. This is my gift. This is who I am. I'm very, kind of a shy guy. And, you know, I'm a gifted writer, so that's sort of my gift. And so I was very happy to function in that role and in that place. And, you know, I was enjoying it, and the Lord was blessing me, and I had a nice job. I had a nice salary. I got a nice house in the suburbs, raising my family. I was just doing, you know, just having a nice life. And then around 1997, 1998, the Holy Spirit started bothering me. Are y'all okay with that? Because He's known to do that. And the Holy Spirit started showing me that He had bigger things that He wanted me to do than just sit behind a desk and write. And guess what? I started an argument with God about that. And I started resisting the change that He was suggesting. And so we got into a wrestling match for a little while. Because basically I said, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do as long as it does not involve speaking in front of people. Now you're laughing, but some of you have done the same thing. And you've said, oh, I know what my gifts are and I know what I do and I'm always in the background and I'm always, you know, serving back here. And it's wonderful to be a servant and it's okay to be in the background. But guess what? God needs people to step out of their inadequacy and to step into His ability. He needs laborers in this hour. This is an hour like we've never lived in before in human history. And God is calling people to walk in His ability. And He's put that ability on the inside of you. And some of you are not even aware of who you really are. So, I had this wrestling match going on. I ended up at the floor of a church up in Winter Springs. Wrestling with God, and I had this prayer time with God, and He was basically showing me that I needed to yield my potential to Him. And I had this vision, and I have a picture of this, what I saw in my spirit. It was the closest thing I could find on the internet that showed what I saw in my spirit, but it was this pipeline. It was this huge oil pipeline. And I saw this thing from the outside, and then I could see it from the inside, and I saw a very shallow stream of oil flowing through this pipe. And so I looked at it, and I said, Lord, what are you showing me? And he said, I'm showing you the Holy Spirit flowing through your life. And I thought, that doesn't look too good. There's not a whole lot of oil in there for that size of a pipe. And I noticed that there were these valves on the pipeline, and they were very tightly shut. You know, I could see this in the spirit. And I said, Lord, what are those valves? And he said, those are all the times that you have said no to me. I'm like, Lord, I don't remember saying no to you. You know how subtle we can do that? And I had very subtly said to God, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, as long as it's not traveling to other nations, as long as it's not talking in front of people, I'll do whatever. That's saying no. That's limiting your potential. And finally I realized, Lord, are you seriously telling me that I'm going to travel and speak? That's not me. I'm the shy journalist. I stay in the background. I write articles. That's what I do. And God said, I'm waiting for you to say yes. And so I ended up on the floor of that church and prayed a very dangerous prayer from Isaiah 6, where the prophet said, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm convinced when you pray that prayer and you lift your hands, heaven takes a Polaroid picture of you. And God keeps that as a memorial to remind you of what you said. And when I prayed that prayer, I had another vision, and I saw a sea of people, and they were all dark-skinned. I knew that it was not in the United States. And the very first thing I thought when I saw those Africans was, you cannot drive to Africa. And I knew that I was standing in front of them and speaking. But I said, here am I, Lord. Well, within 14 months, I was standing in front of 7,000 pastors in Nigeria, preaching to them about how they treat their wives. And the men started coming down from the aisles, and they were kneeling and repenting in front of the women for how they were treating their wives. And the women were wailing in the stadium because they'd never heard Nigerian men apologize to women for anything. And I was thankfully behind a podium so they could not see my knees shaking. Because God doesn't promise that when you obey Him, there won't be any feelings of butterflies or nervousness or fear. But when God commissions you and sends you and you tap into His potential, you do it. And you do it afraid, but you do it with courage. And God will use you and He will move through you. There is a room full of people in here who need to say yes. Because many of you have gifts and talents that you don't even know are inside of you, because maybe somebody came along in your life and told you you couldn't do anything, or told you you were a failure, or told you that, you know, why even bother? And maybe you didn't get the affirmation from your parents, or you didn't get affirmation from teachers, and you haven't had that kind of encouragement in your life, and so you just are just in maintenance mode through life. But I want you to know today the Holy Spirit is here this morning to unlock your potential. Because He cares about the world. And He wants to take us as broken servants, and He wants to use us to reach this broken world. Amen? So, don't limit your potential. Number two, don't limit your place or your people. If you go to that next slide, I want to talk about this for a moment, and then I'm going to give you a scripture that I believe is very prophetic for this church. You know, in my travels, when I said yes to God, I started having a Peter experience, and that was I didn't see a sheet coming down, but I saw a lot of strange food after I started traveling. If you go to this next picture, you'll see that is a sheep's head that I ate in Iceland. And the next picture, you will see some very delicious grasshoppers that I ate in Uganda. They're very good when fried with onions, by the way, and full of protein. Some of you are saying, do I have to do that in order to say yes? It's just all a part of the package. Believe me, I was the guy who basically was very happy to stay put. I was happy to just live my sort of normal life in my little box. But I learned that when you say yes, you don't get to tell God where you will go or who you will be with. He will introduce you to all kinds of interesting new people who are not like you. And don't look like you, and don't eat like you, and don't have the same traditions or customs than you. But it will stretch you, and it will stretch your love so that you can love people like Jesus does. Are y'all okay with that? This is so important in the moment that we are living today, because we're living in a time where people are just pulling back and pulling into their little shells and saying, we want to just be with our kind, and we just want to be, you know, sort of isolated, and we want to stick with the people that we feel comfortable with. And that is not the kingdom of God. I mean, this is already a diverse church, but let me just tell you, you're going to get more diverse, because that's what the kingdom is. Are y'all okay with that? Is it okay if they come to this church? Whoever they is that okay? And are you okay if it happens in your family? That's where it really gets personal. Let me show you this next picture here. Go to that next one. You see that little brown boy? That's my grandson. Adopted from Ethiopia. My oldest daughter decided before they had biological children that they would adopt a baby from Africa. You know why? Because she learned a few things from her dad. After her dad broke out of his box, guess what? My children broke out of theirs. Now I've got an African grandson. And I love to take him up and down the street in my small Georgia town. I love to see the looks and the perplexed looks and wondering who is that and how is he connected to him. And then when I just say, I want you to meet my grandson, and they just give me this really perplexed look. How did that happen? It's the kingdom of God. I want to read this verse to you, and this is a prophecy to Catalyst Church from Isaiah chapter 54, verses 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. That word was originally spoken to Jewish people, but it was reminding them way back, hundreds of years before Peter heard that knock on the door, God was reminding Israel, I'm not going to let you stay in a box. I'm not going to let you stay in a cultural, racial, limited place, but you're going to break out of that and you're going to touch the world. You're going to touch nations. And I want to say to you, Catalyst Church, the bulldozer is coming. You guys are going to have to travel around like nomads for a little while, I guess, while you go to a school or somewhere while this building is being torn down and rebuilt. A new building that you have back there is going to be built because God wants this house to reach nations. And we don't have permission to just stay in the same old place. God is on the move. If you read Ezekiel chapter 1, it describes heaven. And you know what heaven is full of? Wheels turning. The throne of God, there's wheels turning everywhere. Why is that? Because God is always moving. If you want some adventure in your life, just kind of saddle up and, hook your vehicle to Jesus, because he's going places. And I promise you, if you get connected to God, you're not going to just stay in the same place. You're going to be so surprised where you end up. I slept in 58 beds last year. And this guy who didn't like to fly and didn't like to travel is now what they call a Delta million miler. Are y'all ready for that? You guys are going places. Would you just tell your neighbor, you're going places. Now we need some people to stay and help. But I believe God is also in the business of mobilizing you as a people, that this place is going to be a base for many of you, but there's going to be a whole lot of coming and going and a whole lot of mission work and a whole lot of going out and taking the gospel and taking food and taking relief and taking supplies and taking God's goodness and his love. And this church is going to have an outreach, an extension that you can't even imagine. Don't get comfortable. I think the Lord just put you in this building with the leaky roof just so you wouldn't get too comfortable. Maybe if you had been too comfortable and nice, you would have just wanted to stay exactly like you are. And let's don't let any new people come in. Now you got people coming in. They're sitting against the wall. And where are we going to put? Where are we going to put the rest of them? Number three, don't limit your prayers. I've been challenged lately as the Holy Spirit's been moving in my life that he's just told me that God just spoke to me one day and says, I don't like small prayers. He wants us to pray big prayers. We limit him. We limit him in our prayer life. One of my inspirations, I like to read the life story of a guy named George Mueller. He was a British preacher who died in 1898. And I've been talking to David about him this weekend because I went back and just sort of rehearsed some of his life story. George Mueller dedicated his life to helping orphans, and he actually helped, I think, more than 300,000 orphans in England during his lifetime. But George Mueller was a prayer warrior, and he believed in the power of prayer, and he kept a journal of his answers to prayer. He would write the prayer request, and then he would write when it got answered. He would put the date and put the answer. And over the course of his life, George Mueller saw 50,000 prayer requests answered. And 30,000 of those prayer requests were answered on the day that he prayed them. Wow. Problem is that sometimes those prayers are not answered that quick. How many of you know? You've been praying for something that didn't get answered on the day that you prayed? I've got some things I've been praying for years. And our tendency is to give up or get discouraged. And I came to tell some of you today, keep on praying. I have a picture on this slide here. There's a type of bamboo that when you plant it, it grows like this in a little jar. Whoops, go back to the jar. And that little plant stays like that for 6 years. It's just 4 inches high. Now, you can imagine you got a little bamboo plant like that in your house, and I don't know about you, but after 6 years, I would have probably thrown it in the trash. It's just sitting there. It's not doing anything. You're watering it. You're putting fertilizer on it, and it's just 4 inches high. I'm tired of that. I don't have patience for that. But guess what happens after the sixth year, you can see what happens. It grows 80 feet in 6 weeks. You can see those stalks there. Now, why in the world would God make a plant that does that? I asked the Lord directly. I said, Lord, and he said, I wanted you to see what happens when you keep praying. Because some of us, we've been praying for something for 5 years, and then we threw it out, and we gave up, and we didn't realize we were just months away from the breakthrough. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, keep on praying, keep on knocking, keep on asking, and it will be given. I came to tell you this morning, don't limit your prayers. Don't put a lid on those prayers. When I was in Israel in November, the Holy Spirit just was stirring in me so much, and he was just telling me that he wanted me to pray for the Muslim world, because he wants, in my lifetime, he wants to pour out his Holy Spirit on every Islamic nation. He wants those nations to serve him. He wants those people to love him. And I'm convinced that before my life is over, we are going to see the biggest outpouring of the Holy Spirit in that part of the world. Most Christians are not praying for that. Most Christians today in America are afraid of Muslims. We're worried about, oh no, they're building a mosque in my city. What are we going to do? And you know what I say to them? I'm glad they're here, because it would be better. What do you think is going to be easier, for them to find Jesus here in the United States or find him back home where they are? Now, this ruffles some feathers politically for some people. But you know what? God's into ruffling feathers. God wants to reach the nations of the world. He might even want to bring those kinds of people into this church, because they're here in Orlando. Catalyst Church would be a really great place for them. And they can enjoy some new kinds of food and introduce some of their delicious food to you. I think they might like that jerk chicken. I must be hungry making these comments. Are y'all ready to break out of your box? Let me just read this verse to you. The words of the Apostle Paul, talking about not limiting our prayers. But Ephesians 3, verse 20, very simple verse. I love this. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Your God wants to do far more abundantly beyond what you're asking now. He's saying, don't pray small. Would you look at your neighbor and say, pray big. Abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And I love the fact that when I do pray a prayer, no matter what I'm praying, that God will take that prayer and he will bless it and multiply it and cause its impact to be abundantly beyond all that I could ask. I hope you're encouraged this morning to break out of your box. I want to ask if you would just bow your heads right now, because I believe that there are some people in this room today that you know that you have limited God in your life. You've limited your own potential. You've limited the gifts of the Spirit in your life. You've limited what you would ever do for Him or what you think you could possibly ever do for Him. There's someone here today that because of your upbringing and because of your schooling and some failures that you experience in your education, that you've basically just labeled yourself a failure. And the Lord has come today to rip that label off of you. There's some of you that have gone through some very difficult trauma in your life, and you know that you're broken on the inside. You know that you have a lot of pain, and there's someone here today that's struggling with a very deep depression because of some trauma that you experienced. And God says, I am not going to let that experience define you. I'm not going to let that limit you, but I am here to heal you. And I'm here to release you from that thing that has held you back and put a lid on your life. The Lord wants to unlock your potential today so that you can go and do, and whether that's doing it in Orlando or whether that means that one day you're going to be traveling to nations or you're going to actually be getting up and going somewhere else and doing something for God, that you're willing to hear that knock on the door this morning that is calling you out of the old restrictions, calling you to reach others for Christ, calling you to go places maybe that you would have never thought of going. The Holy Spirit is here to break our limitations. If you need God to do that in your life this morning, I just want to simply ask that you would stand where you are. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. There may be many who need that prayer. But I'm going to break that limitation off of your life today. And I am expecting something powerful to happen inside of many people in this room today. There are people today that you have limited yourself or others have limited you. There's a woman in this room today that many people, and there's been some men in your life who pushed you down and limited you, but today you are breaking out of that and you're not going to let those words or those actions of the past hold you back anymore. Just stand up. Anybody in here that needs that, go ahead and respond to the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this moment right now. Thank you, Father.